Welcome to today's Word of Mom Radio here on the Word of Mom Media Network. I'm your host, Dori DiCarlo, and you know we are here show after show, week after week, just breaking those myths that mompreneurs and businesswomen, especially businesswomen building their businesses from home, you know, like we're dabbling in business in between bake sales and getting our nails done. We're not. We're smart, we're savvy, we're professional, and we are empowering each other, sharing the wisdom of women with these shows, and women coming and sharing their journey, their stories, and their expertise with us. And today I am sharing Michelle Klieger. Michelle is the founder of Strategerm Consulting, an agricultural and business consulting firm. She's worked in the food and agricultural sector for more than a decade, and her work takes her around the world. She's been fortunate to speak at meetings, conferences, and workshops throughout the United States, Asia, and South America. She's also a published author. Her articles have appeared in more than 24 publications, and she's published an ebook. Michelle is an economist, more specifically an agricultural economist and international trade expert. She loves learning, writing, and speaking about these topics. And while some people might find them boring, she gets people to talk to her, and she's found a way to make these topics easier to understand and more interesting for the day-to-day person. And she finds that breaking these ideas into more digestible pieces and weaving in relevant stories from her own work experience and travels work best. So, with that being said, come weave your stories and experiences and your travel here on Word of Mom Radio. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you, Dori. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, it's exciting to share you. So I just right from the start, you know, I've got to ask you, just take us on your journey.
Sure. So I actually wanted to be a wildlife veterinarian, and I made it all the way through college on that path. And one summer I worked in South Africa, and I really got to see the intersection of how we grow our food and how we make sure that there's land for wildlife. And so my really interest in this topic comes from that desire to leave land available for wildlife and conservation efforts, but still make sure that we're feeding a growing population. So a big piece of that is international trade and making sure we can move those calories around the world. So instead of going to veterinary school, I decided to work in D.C., which was near where I lived, and I worked for an agriculture and business consulting firm. And then I worked for a trade association where I specialized in international trade. So it was not exactly where I expected to go, but I really felt like sort of that business and trade pieces really leveraged my skills better than medicine, like what I was naturally good at, so I could still really achieve this goal and dream of having more wildlife for all of our kids.
Wow. I have to ask, how did you find the transition from moving from such a traditional kind of a job now into your own business?
Well, so, you know, it's definitely had its ups and downs. It's only been a year. And I would say that, you know, I'm the type of person that I don't think anybody's surprised. You know, I always had side hustles before they were cool. I built websites for people, made media strategy guides. My dad and I even had a farmer's market stand for a while. So it's not totally outside of the realm, but I was always looking for that right idea. What was the idea that I was going to have that was going to turn into a business? And I don't know that it necessarily hit me, but my family decided to move from the D.C. area to Massachusetts. And it really was, with everything changing, was a really interesting time to say what I'm doing in D.C. doesn't necessarily translate perfectly to Boston. So maybe this is an opportunity to take some conversations and topics that I'm interested in, whether it's agriculture, technology, and international trade, and try to build a business on, you know, the network and skills that I have, and see where it takes me. So it was sort of this turn the snow globe upside down, shake everything up moment in my life, and I think that it gave me the courage to take this giant step from traditional workplaces into a business of my own.
It's exciting, isn't it? When you find that little space, you know, that's like, oh, wait, you know, that big aha moment. So in all of this transition, though, what's the biggest challenge that you face?
Being completely honest with your listeners, I would say that it's just the amount of time it takes to start a business. You know, think you have a network, you think you have these leads, and everything just takes longer than I expected. Those introductions become multi-step processes. Conversations tend to span months instead of days. Like, I'm ready for that next call, and it's getting it on the books and getting the right people there. And so, you know, a lot of the leads that are beginning to pan out or that have been the most successful in my business with people that I've been talking to for longer than a year. And so I, you know, think I expected and understood that things move slow, but I hadn't really internalized it. And so then, you know, over the last year, what do I do in between those calls? What do I do to promote myself? What do I do to define my brand or what I offer? And so I've tried to use those times to come up with new sort of creative solutions and how to get out there, how to get in front of new people. You know, if the network that I had wasn't getting me to from point A to point B quick enough, I've decided to meet new people. And I'm sure we'll talk about it more, but a lot of that has just been through writing. I've been able to put myself in front of new people and make new partnerships that I didn't expect to find a year ago. So that process of, one, putting myself out there, and two, understanding that business is a slow process, has definitely been the hardest part of this year.
It's amazing because I'm doing my finger quotes in the air as an employee, you know, it doesn't matter. If it takes you 6 months to develop a lead, 10 months to develop a lead, you've got all these other things going on. But when it's you in your business and that is now your revenue, it's amazing. It's like, and it's crazy because people see it. They see what you're doing. Oh, this is great, blah, 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 blah. But for you, this is what you do. For them, it's part of what's happening in their life. And exactly. And so, you know, getting other people to work on your timetable is always a challenge. And it is things that people aren't really prepared for because nobody sits them down and says, hey, look, as long as you think this is going to take, it's going to take that much longer. I'm living proof. I mean, I have a company that started, you know, safety bags and stadium bags, our line of clear bags and backpacks. I began safety bags after Columbine is where I got that idea 20 years ago. So now here we are, and we're in the, you know, Yankee yearbook and the Super Bowl and this and that, blah, blah, blah. And everybody's like, oh my gosh, we're an overnight sensation, 20 years in the making. Because it's the iceberg picture, you know? You see the iceberg at the top of the water, but nobody sees what happens underneath and how many centuries it took for that iceberg to form. But all that being said, how has the transition been for you?
Well, I would say that most people really focus on how is the transition from working from home. And my answer is almost to laugh and say, you know, working from home is definitely a change, but being my own boss is the huge, huge, you know, change. And it's just so much bigger than whether I go to an office every day or not. I would say the hardest part about being my own boss is not having a team. And whether that's doing things that I'm not the best at or don't want to do, or just bouncing ideas off of. I mean, I'm in such a growth stage right now and looking at new opportunities and seeing how it fits in my workflow and learning to manage my own schedule and all of these pieces, and not having other people that are either equally invested or dependent on the business in the same way or understand, you know, what I'm trying to say has definitely been hard. You know, when we moved, I was able to make mom friends and a lot of them, or other, you know, new bit entrepreneur friends. And a lot of them ask what I do, and then they're like, eyes glaze right over. And I'm like, no, like, you know, I want to learn what timekeeping software you're using and all these other things. So it's been difficult to find people that, you know, are business owners, do care about the topic, and that I can sort of bounce all of these ideas off of and get feedback from. But some of the other transitions have been sort of interesting and kind of exciting. I mean, I don't have, just like I don't have a team, I don't necessarily have anybody that I report to. So when I decide I'm going to publish an article, whether it's in a trade publication or on my own blog, I don't have to have a communications department read over it. I mean, I've hired copy editors, you know, to help some of that process, but it's not being approved by six people over me. Or similarly, if I decide I'm going to, whether it's write a book or teach or any of these other sort of ideas that have come to mind, I have to talk to my supervisor and get them approved. So I kind of like that I can try anything once or twice, and I'm hoping that as the business develops, I will find either building out a team or find, you know, building out a network to give me some of that day-to-day feedback. You know, and sometimes I joke with my husband when I get home, I'm like, I really have to talk about my day. Like, I understand that you just went to an office all day and that you have a whole team of engineers that wants to talk about the same computer program, but, like, I have no one to talk about to. So can you just bear with me and listen for a little while? And so it's that dynamic that's been different and not, again, what I expected.
It is a big transition. You know, on that note, we're going to take a quick break and hear from our sponsors, and then we're going to continue the journey with Michelle Klieger. So we'll be right back here on Word of Mom Radio.
As parents, keeping our school safe is uppermost in our mind. More and more schools are requiring students carrying a clear bag, but that puts the responsibility of keeping our school safe on the backs of our children. Safety Bags has a full line of bags, not only for the students, but for the teachers, the administrators, the sports department, school personnel, and more. Our line of clear bags and backpacks come with a 3-year warranty and can be used to raise funds for your schools and athletic departments nationwide. Please visit us at safetybags.com. You will see why we are the clear choice for your schools, because safety, it's in the bag.
We all know a survivor. Some of our friends and family have made it through difficult times. Some of us don't make it. Losing a loved one to cancer, a car accident, or any other unfortunate event can be crippling and unavoidable. But one of the hardest subjects to talk about is suicide. Too often, our youth decide that leaving this place is easier than facing the struggle forced upon them every day. More than 1 in 4 children go through some form of bullying or another. Most of us survive with scars, but for some, the inner demons created cannot be recognized or treated in time to ensure they make it through. Bullying in every form is very much avoidable. It starts with me, and it starts with you. This is Kelly Carius from No Such Thing as a Bully, reminding you to do your part when you see bullying happen. If you don't know what that is, call 403-447-4404 or go to nosuchthingasabully.com.
Hey, sports fans. Take the hassle out of going to the game with the clear bags from StadiumBags.com. Our crossbody mini messenger bag, stadium-sized backpack, tote bag with different color straps, and ready-to-go travel bag meet the size requirements for pro and college sports. You can find us at StadiumBags.com and get yourself the bags guaranteed to last season after season, because safety, it's in the bag.
And we're back here on Word of Mom Radio with Michelle Cleaver, who is the founder of Stratagerm Consulting. And we are talking about that journey and that transition from working in mainstream business and now starting your own business. And I'm curious, because I know you do some teaching, what prompted you to teach?
I started actually by writing. And so I was writing a lot at the end of last year and the beginning of this year. And one of the things I wanted to do was explain complicated concepts, specifically around international trade and tariffs and the trade war. And I was finding that the articles that really resonated the most, I was getting the most comments, the most feedback, were ones where I had included stories from my own business experience and travel into them. And so it was a lot easier and less abstract to understand. So I mentioned this to a friend of mine who just finished her PhD, and she said that universities are often looking for teachers or adjunct professors that have that practical experience. So it was almost a long shot that I applied. I wasn't really expecting much. I mean, I've taught some seminars, but this felt like a big step. And I got it, and I'm just really excited about the opportunity of, you know, explaining to students how these concepts apply in real life. I mean, so it's an intro class that I teach, and it's one that I remember taking and wanting to, having a hard time understanding how this applies in real life. And now, 15 plus years later, 20 years later, I use these supply and demand charts every single day. Like when I sit here and I work with a client or write up an article, I'm literally drawing the graph and moving it based on what's happening. So I almost, you know, it's so important to me, and it's something I find interesting, and I'm hoping that by showing how it works in real life, and maybe a little bit of my passion will wear off, and it won't be one of those boring intro classes that you have to take, but actually something that is enjoyable for students. So it's, again, everything sort of winds and turns this year, but that's how I got into teaching.
Awesome. So what prompted you to write a book?
Well, almost the same thing. I had written a bunch of articles on tariffs and the trade war, and, you know, it's every big step of this, I felt like I needed to jump in deeper. So in December, the U.S. and China agreed to a trade truce, and it was supposed to last 3 months, and I was like, look, if I don't join this conversation now, am I going to miss it? So I wrote an essay, and I published it, and that's really where a lot of that part of my work had taken off. And then the same thing happened. Things were, I don't know if they were wrapping up in May, April, May, June, but I knew that the trade war was going to be a year old in July, and I really didn't think that it was going anywhere. And online, I talked to a lot of people that are like, I just don't know anything about this. I get that it's important, but I don't know anything about this. And so I just thought that the anniversary of the trade war was, in my mind, a good deadline for writing up an introduction. And so my goal was, it's 75 pages or less. It's actually ranked in 2-hour politics and under, so on Amazon. But the goal was, you know, if you see the headlines and have any interest in, you know, why your goods might be going up or what's going on around you, this book's designed to give you, like, almost definitional, but introduction to what's going on and tell you why we got here and why it's not over yet. So, again, trying to be super accessible and help people understand, because I think that it, you know, it will define business for the next few years. I think that it's a huge shift in how the world works, and it's just a really important topic.
What was the hardest part of writing the book?
So most of the blog posts I write are about 1,000 words or so, and the book is 12 or 13,000 words. And telling a story in 1,000 words and having a thread is not super difficult. Having a thread in 10 or 15,000 words of nonfiction and potentially a dry topic was much harder. I set it up when I was working on it almost as those blog posts. So here are the 5 topics I want to cover, and I wrote them individually because I found that to be easier. And then when I tried to stitch them together, it made no sense. No one could have followed it. You would have been lost immediately. And so not just having transitioned words, but having transitioned paragraphs and having introductions and conclusions and keeping the reader's attention for just those 75 pages was a lot harder than trying to do it for 1,000 words. And honestly, that's part of the reason why it ended up the length it did, was because expanding it farther, I just didn't feel like I was there as an author, and I felt like it would make it a harder journey for the reader. So maybe that's what's next, is another book, or what happens next. But the hardest part was definitely being true to wanting to make sure that I could take the reader from a beginning to an end.
Awesome. And I can only imagine that going from blogging to writing a book, you know, one thing, it's got to be a lot harder. So what's next for you after this book?
I haven't decided yet. I mean, so I'm really busy on the teaching, and, you know, I've been doing some industry podcasts and industry writing. So I really don't want to put that pressure of a second book right now. I kind of want to see where things go. But mostly it's really just adding to what I've done. You know, almost being nice to myself and seeing what I've accomplished in the last year, and two, taking a step back and seeing where things go. I mean, I have that personality, which is, what more can I do today? And I just think that some days the answer is nothing. You have to wait for that next call. You have to wait for that next meeting to happen. And, you know, just like everything takes time, nothing can be forced. So trying to take the summer and internalize some of those lessons that I've learned this year and try to make me into a better business owner for next year.
Wow. You know, that's a great lesson to learn. It really is, because I think one of the hardest things for a business owner to know is that sometimes stepping away from your business is the healthiest thing you can do. Because when you transition from, like you were saying earlier, you know, you're working for a business, you've got a team, you've got consultants, you've got this, you've got that, and all of a sudden you are everything. You are, you know, and I don't know about you, but I could be a tough employer. I fired myself twice. Fortunately, I was kind enough, because I was a single mom, to take me back. But, you know, there's sometimes the hardest thing to learn is how to be a boss for yourself. So what other things have you learned?
I have learned that one of the things as being a mom, my goal is to do the most important thing I need to do every day. So I plan every day as if I'm going to get that call from daycare at noon that my daughter needs to be picked up, or, you know, something needs to happen around the house. So what are the 1, 2, 3 most important things I can do each morning to move my business forward? So that's a big one. The importance of networking and finding a community. I mean, it can be isolating to work from home. Again, emotionally, I haven't found it as difficult as I might have feared. But once I got a little bit more comfortable in my business, I've started to go to networking events or lunches or other meetings in the area, and it just makes me feel so much more connected to a community. And those are not necessarily just about what can I get out of it for my business and where am I going. But just, again, being around other people, having other people to talk to and bounce ideas off of. And then I think the third one would be being okay with where I am. You know, when people ask, a lot of times you want to say, yes, I'm a resounding success. It's been a year and I've, you know, made it. And I feel the need to always put on a really good show. But I've gotten more comfortable in saying, look, I'm building a business. I have some revenue streams that are keeping me stable. I have a growth path of where I want to go. But I'm beginning to understand that it's going to take a lot more time than I expected to get there. And being okay with telling myself that and telling other people that has been a huge change just in the last month.
You know, when you own your own business.
I have to rewind this and listen to it again in a couple of weeks when I've forgotten all these lessons.
Good. And you should, because, you know, it really is remarkable to me that all of them, again, my little finger quotes are in the air, the worker bees out there that have jobs, when you start a business, it's almost, to me, it almost seems threatening to them. And it's like, so have you made $1 million yet? You know, is your business on NASDAQ yet? You know, it's like, because it's like, seriously? Go and talk to your boss. Do you honestly think that, you know, there's 50 employees and that's how the business started? It didn't start that way. It started with one person with an idea that grew it into something else. So, you know, all of us mompreneurs and entrepreneurs and business owners out there that are brave enough to take that step, it's very difficult for the people who haven't had that courage and who sit back and wish and what if, you know. So as we're wrapping up over here, what you're coming up on this one-year anniversary, what's the thing you're most excited about right now?
I am really excited about the sort of new calls I'm getting. You know, I'm starting to get those calls that are, hey, I have an idea. I've seen what you've done in the last few months. Do you think we could work together on something? And so it's not just me coming up with all of the ideas and pushing it forward. It sort of shows that I've done something for the last year and that other people might have places that we could work together. So it takes a little bit of the load off, I would say, and pressure on coming up with everything from start to finish by myself. But I think I also am trying to remember that every time one of those calls or emails or connections comes in, that it shows that I really have accomplished something in the last year. And, you know, I've kind of hinted at it in the last question, but, you know, there are lots of ways to judge a business that are not just how much money do you bring in. And I think that this is another one of those key metrics. How much interest are you drumming up? How many new ideas are people approaching you with? Or are you coming up with, you know, where are you going more than only how many dollars did I bill this week? So I'm excited to see where these early conversations are going, because I think that they are the first real proof of what I've accomplished in the last year.
Congratulations, because that's a great place to be. It really is. And as we wrap all of this up, let everybody know how they can find you, Michelle.
I am super active on LinkedIn, so Michelle Klieger, LinkedIn. My website is my name. My Twitter handle is my name. And my company website is stratagerm.com. And my book is on Amazon. My mom is actually the most excited, because if you go to Amazon and type in Michelle Klieger, my book pops up. So she feels like that is making it in life, which is super awesome.
Spell your name for everybody. I don't want to mess it up.
Sure. Michelle with two L's, and then K-L-I-E-G-E-R.
I hope people reach out to you, Michelle. I really do, because I think you have a great story and it's a great journey. And it just, you know, for those of you out there listening to this who have that dream of starting something, what are you waiting for? You know, that saying, oh, come on, you only live once. No, you live every day. You die once. Go for it. Just go for it. Because you will look back and go, I shoulda, woulda, coulda. And instead of I did. So let's make I did. And I did it. And no matter how it takes, as long as it takes, have faith in yourself. So for all of you tuning in, Michelle, thank you so much for sharing your journey with us. And for all of our listeners, you know, the time is now. So thank you for tuning in here on Word of Mom Radio and the Word of Mom Media Network. We're going to close out with She Is You, our fabulous theme song from our Smith Sisters Bluegrass. So until next time, this is Dori DiCarlo saying thanks so much for joining us, and go out and create a marvelous you. Bye for now.